I've been thinking that I shall drain the carriage driver upon arrival at the docks, and then the man who loads my cargo onto the ship. There will be no memory of me or my cases of Earth. I shall go unseen and unheard on the ship. I shall drink my fill before the voyage, and ignore my thirst until I set foot upon dry land once more. I do not have to cover my footsteps if I do not make them in the first place. My brides will welcome my return, but the villagers shall not. This is only to be expected after months of being terrorized by my brood. While the bloody trail through the villages shall not be difficult to conceal, the people there know better than to cross me. However, I long to greet the wilderness of my homeland, my children whose howls shall celebrate my return. You're listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. Spooky Month continues.
Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike, joined by my co-hosts Napier, Drunkard STL, and via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse. We have an action-packed show for you this evening. But first, me and Travis sat down with film director James Cullen Bresic to promote his new movie, Pernicious, which is traveling around the country in a film festival near you. James, thank you for being here, buddy.
Definitely. I'm more than happy to be on. If there's one thing I like doing, it's talking. So.
Perfect.
So the movie's coming out on the 15th, right?
What is?
Your movie?
Pernicious? No. It's playing film festivals right now. Oh. It doesn't come out till next year.
Oh, IMDb.
You're traveling with it then, right?
Yeah, we're traveling with it.
IMDb lied to me, James.
IMDb is a liar.
Well, IMDb says that you have like 18 movies coming out next year. So
that was the first thing that I wanted to ask is when do you sleep?
I don't.
You just make movies every day. But you put out movies quicker than they put out episodes of CSI.
I know, and actually, believe it or not, this is going to shock you even more. I'm 22, so
yeah,
that did shock me when I first saw it.
Yeah, so
yeah, you're 22 and you've made like 8 movies, and I'm 32 and I have a podcast. So I mean, I have every reason to just hate you.
You know, a lot of people do hate me, but it's only because I'm beautiful.
Well, you made your first feature when you were 18, right?
Yeah, I made my first feature when I was 18.
And that was my pure joy?
Like, straight out of high school. I had written this movie, and I was in film school for literally a week. And I was like, you know, I am going to see if I could make a movie. Like, you know, Robert Rodriguez made his first movie El Mariachi for $7,000, so I'm going to make mine for $7,000. So My Pure Joy was a $7,000 movie. And I made it. Basically had to, if you look at the credits, I had to do absolutely everything on it. I was like the, I'm credited for like a bazillion different things, like sound and,
and well, that's probably the way to go though, right? Like you, when you're dipping your head in the ring of making movies, the more you know about every aspect, especially this day and age with independent cinema, it's probably the best for your, you know, your overall knowledge of doing it.
100%. I mean, it was like my film school all in one, you know, I mean, like I learned by like having to do it and be the only one who could do it, you know, because I couldn't pay anybody and nobody wanted to help some random kid making a movie about a serial killer. Cause they're like, yeah, what real movie can you make for $7,000? You know what I mean? So, nobody wanted to help me out. It was really easy to get actors though, because actors just wanted stuff for the reels.
Did you already have a circle of friends that was interested in making movies?
No.
No?
No. I was like super loner status. Like, nobody wanted to be the crazy little film kid's friend.
So are you, when you
were... make movies. Well, it's a good way to make friends.
Yeah, I made friends making the films. You know, I definitely did that.
Well, and right out of the gate, too, that got a bunch of praise, right? The first film that you had, I mean, created a bunch of buzz. This 18-year-old kid releasing this movie and people are noticing.
Yeah, I mean, as you could maybe tell from my Twitter, I came from a social media background. So when I was, you know, before I got into making movies, like as a teenager, I used to do like PR and social media because I understood it for like different like electronic music bands.
Sure.
And so, like, I learned a lot about that. So I put out a lot of press on my first movie, My Pure Joy. And it actually got, like, onto the bestsellers list on Amazon. It was ranked number 32. And so, like, it was, you know, it got a lot of press and was a bestseller. I took all these pictures of it being ranked number 32 because I thought it was, like, kind of epic.
Well, I guess then, the press likes when young people do things.
Yeah, and now for the rest of my life, I have to battle people saying, well, he was young once, and actually, because, you know, I don't want it to just be like, remember when he was young, and he did movies, and it was impressive because he was a young man. Well, now it's getting to a point, like, I'm 22, so they're like, well, now he's an old man, which is, you know,
yeah,
apparently
22
was old. Yeah, I'm ancient. I'm, like, but very wise.
God, you're going to be getting Lifetime Achievement Awards in horror any time now, right?
Yeah, well, of course, because 22 is an entire lifetime. But, you know, this year I had the pleasure of working with both Wes Craven and Eli Roth, which was really awesome.
That's amazing.
Well, I mean, so, you might as well pack up now, right? Who's left?
Well, John Carpenter.
Yeah, that's good, I guess.
Robert Rodriguez. I mean, like, for me, like, you know, Eli Roth is kind of just the biggest thing ever for me. You know, working with Wes Craven was amazing. You know, it blew my mind. I learned so much. And, you know, he was like the dude in Pet Sematary who, like, he'd walk on the set and he'd be like, the soil's spoiled. You have to not bury the film canister in the Pet Sematary. He'd, like, come in and say something, like, really wise and then, like, walk away and I wouldn't see him for the rest of the day.
Was he always wearing a different T-shirt? I follow him on Twitter, and I see he's always got a nice collection of T-shirts, and he's always showing them off.
Yeah. I actually didn't pay attention to his T-shirt. I was just kind of like in awe of like Wes Craven is in the same room as me, and he called me James. Like he actually remembers me from the day before. This is fantastic. So that was, you know, mind blowing. And, you know, it was a small little project, like a sizzle reel thing that I don't know if it'll ever come out, but it was really cool to work with him. And then I did this, this like Vine, 13 Days of Hollowvine for Eli Roth. And
I saw that. I hadn't even seen Eli Roth put that out, and I just saw a couple of those today, and that it's a great idea. There's some really great ones out there. Did yours release yet? I wasn't able to find it.
Yeah, mine was the first one. So I got all the press because it was the first one. I strategically planned that.
Oh,
but Eli was the producer on it, and it was awesome. You know, he was very supportive online, and literally watching Eli Roth follow me on Twitter and like tweet that I did something scary, I was like, that is amazing. Because I have a elite hunting tattoo from Hostel on my chest. So it's I was like, that's a dream come true.
Did you show it to him?
I tweeted him a picture of it. Eli's always been like a huge idol of mine and stuff. And I'm actually working with him in the crypt on a different project as well. So
that's a dream come true. That's an idol of yours. And then after just a few years and a handful of movies, you get to work with him.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely is. I've yet to meet him in person. He's been off filming and doing things. However, he's been very communicative through email and Twitter and stuff, which is really rad.
You followed up, like, I say, how do you sleep? I know you have a lot of short films, but just last year you put out 3 features. How does that happen?
lots of Red Bull, and yeah. I'm quoted as Red Bull is the breakfast of champions.
Oh, perfect.
So hopefully Red Bull gives me a sponsorship so I can stop spending my entire paycheck on all the cases of Red Bull.
You start wearing some racing suits that just say Red Bull while you're directing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Product placement.
But last year, Hate Crime 2, Jennifer, and 13-13-13 all came out. And Hate Crime I had actually done a year before, but okay. it played the film festival circuit for an entire year. And we played like 27 film festivals around the world, like in Spain and all that stuff. So it was kind of rad. I was very proud of that movie.
Well, I saw actually you talking about that movie and another outlet saying that your inspiration from it was actually, the core inspiration was something that you actually experienced personally.
Yeah, it was. I was on my way to a film festival in Oklahoma that was playing my film, My Pure Joy, and I was on a fake ID, and I stopped at this bar, and me and my business partner were surrounded and accosted by, like, neo-Nazis, and they were like, "You're a Jew, ain't you, boy? I ain't never seen a Jew before. Where are your horns at, Jew boy?" and stuff like that in a bar in Amarillo, Texas. And
they have Jews there. He was lying. He's seen Jews before.
I don't know, Mike, have you ever been to Amarillo, Texas?
I want to say yes.
Texas, yeah. Reminds me of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, that's where they filmed it.
Amarillo is a scary place.
Yeah, it's like long stretch of land, tiny little shack. Stretch of land. Really tiny little shack.
Well, and even when you go into town, I remember I took like a solo road trip there in like 2009, and I checked into like a Baymont Resorts or something, and he's like, "Oh, are you all by yourself?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, you're going to want to park in the light and make sure you don't answer the door for anybody if they knock on it." I'm like, "What? Where am I?" And then I walk into the bedroom, and it's all stained, like just dark stains on the floor, and there's a sign on the inside of the door that says, "Do not open the door for anybody unless you know who they are."
That's awesome.
I've never seen that shit before.
Well, then you could definitely confirm my experience.
Yeah,
there's a part of the world, like a part of America that we definitely pretend that we don't see.
Right.
And this was that part of the world. So I was like, I started doing research and I found out that like all these, horrible, violent hate crimes have been happening in the U.S. and they happen like more and more, especially now because like the economy's dipping. And so I was like, well, I have to, make a movie about that. And I've always, feared home invasions. And so I, put it out, and the proof is in the pudding because some people deny that it still goes on, but get the comments on the YouTube page. Or look at like these websites like Crush Zion and like Stormfront that are actually like writing death threats about me on there for making a movie about neo-Nazis and being Jewish.
Well, all you have to do really is look at social media for that. You can see you can see it every day in everybody's posts, anonymous posts, a lot of racism. And
he specified the YouTube videos on his page and all YouTube videos on anything.
Right.
Well, all YouTube videos on anything as well, to be honest.
Right.
It's like all YouTube videos, all of the IMDb message boards. Like, there's a great review on IMDb of my movie Blood Lake from like a a credible IMDb message boarder saying that, like, you know, they had a conversation with Shannon Doherty, and, like, Shannon hates the film, and the one thing she hated the most about the film was how arrogant and horrible this young director was because he thought he was the greatest person who ever lived. And Shannon and I read that and were laughing because we've worked together 3 times now and are very close friends. And so it's very funny that people not only say stuff like that, but they also claim to literally know the person, which is even funnier.
Everybody wants an exclusive.
Yeah, everybody wants an exclusive because, you know, Shannon Doherty goes around giving exclusives to random IMDb messengers. They're just like, hey, random person on the IMDb message board who's trolling and writing horrible things.
Let me tell you a story.
Let me just tell you a story.
You know what, man? I like you. I'm going to dish you the dirt.
Could you straight away take to IMDb and post this?
You're good, you. Go on IMDb and write a horrible thing about this man.
So I saw Blood Lake. That's the one that released... It was just on Netflix. I saw it on Netflix. Is that true that released on Animal Planet first?
Yeah. It was on Animal Planet over the 4 showings we had. We got 7 million viewers, and it's been playing on Animal Planet across the world. Actually, it just played in Germany on Animal Planet, and it played in the UK on Animal Planet. But it was on Animal Planet in the US for Monster Week, and we're actually it's getting re-released very soon on Animal Planet.
Why does Animal Planet have a Monster Week? Animals. That's
so they wanted a horror movie.
Animal Planet.
Yeah, that's it.
Plays
that's
videos
exactly it.
Of tigers eating antelopes
and the puppy bowl.
That's crazy.
No, they wanted their own Shark Week, I think. I didn't know that they had a Monster Week. That's why I'd saw Blood Lake, and then I had seen that it was released originally on Animal Planet, and I'm like, no, between the kittens and the meerkats?
Yeah, it was. Animal Planet was a huge supporter of the film too.
That's excellent.
You know, they got a lot of press on it, and they were great to work with. A lot of respect for Animal Planet.
So, is there going to be a Blood Lake 2?
Who knows? Hopefully, I get a call, and then we get to, you know, kill a whole bunch of other people. But I know that we're re-releasing an unrated director's cut on Animal Planet very soon with a bunch more kill scenes that the first time I did were too, like, violent to be shown.
Is it, like, after hours when they can show stuff?
I think so. But they're doing something, like, super violent that I had some really crazy kill scenes where, like, it's really, like, some brutal stuff. So
originally they were like, we can't put that on TV, and then 7 million viewers later they're like, hey, let's cut that back into the movie.
They're like, whoa, James, this is Animal Planet.
maybe, who knows? I don't know the thought process. I just know that it's going to be this violent thing.
So you're touring Pernicious right now.
Yeah, I'm going to, for Thanksgiving, I will be in Australia doing a showing of Pernicious for Monster Fest. Everything has the word monster. This year.
That's excellent. I like monsters.
It's just a monster year for me. I even got texted by somebody telling me that I'm a monster. So, like, literally, like, I think, like, my year is just filled with monsters.
2014, the year of the monster.
So, Pernicious, I'm saying it right? Pernicious.
Yeah, pernicious. Pernicious. Definitely. A lot of people say Pernicus.
Pernicus.
It is pernicious.
I watched the trailer, and to simplify it as best I can, it's a little gold girl who kills a bunch of people, right?
That is true.
And
old girl.
I have a niece. She's a couple years old, and every time we go over there, it's really, really hard to get her to do anything. Like, you can't get her to eat her macaroni and cheese, and you can't get her to go to bed on time. You can't really get her to do anything. How'd you get that little girl to sit still while you painted her gold a whole bunch of times?
You know, that was the guys at Toe Tag that did it. Jeremy Cruz painted her gold and stuff, and we also enhanced a lot with VFX. But one thing that I've actually, I guess because I'm so young, one thing I've been able to really do very well is work with kids. Every one of my movies has kids in them. And the biggest obstacle definitely was in Thailand because the child did not speak English.
Did she have lines? Or does she just, like, run around and be all creepy and stuff?
She just runs around and be all creepy and stuff, but I had to give her direction. And there's actually video of me where basically I got the translator to tell her to just do what I do. And so, like, I would play games with her where, you know, like, I'd make a face and she'd make the same face back. And then we would just start, like, mimicking each other. And so, like, how I'd direct her is I would do the movement that I wanted her to do, and then she would do it once I called action.
So she was shadow boxing.
Yeah, basically.
I'm not agreeing that kids can be scary, but I don't know why. Like, twins in The Shining, why are they scary? If those two twins came after me, I'd probably deck both of them and be fine.
It's because they didn't eat the broccoli.
But it seems there's a lot of horror movies where the monster or the whatever is a little kid, and I feel like I could take a little kid.
Little kids are scary because of the idea of, you know, innocence and purity being destroyed. When you look at a kid, you immediately think that it's, you know, innocent and pure because it's so young, even though we all know some kids could just be motherfuckers.
Well, that's absolutely true. I have two young children, and that's the thing, too. I look at them most of the time and think, innocence, they haven't experienced life, they're not jaded by anything. But I saw, like, Children of the Corn when I was very young, and that shit scarred me, even as a child, where I'm watching these children do these vicious, vicious things to all the adults and clearing the town out. And it's freaky. Children are scary, especially if you, like, have them or grew up with them. They're creepy. They're creepy little things.
Children are also vicious to other children. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like, you know, elementary school, they say some mean stuff to each other, man.
Did the kids? Because I mean, I've seen 13, 13, 13. Like, there's some vicious, brutal acts committed by children. Do they get into that? Is that fun for them, or do they just, you know, they're just there doing a job?
They definitely get into it. I always feel a little bad every time because, like, it's like, you know, I always explain to the kid and the kid's parents that, like, you know, this is only, like, you know, for the movie. Like, don't say it outside of the movie. And, like, you know, it, like, you could tell that they, like, get very excited by the fact that they're allowed to say a curse word in a movie.
Oh, sure, or bash somebody's head against the concrete.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, ooh, yay! Like, yeah, they, you know, but My Pure Joy, the kid got, the first movie I did, the kid was covered in, like, 4 gallons of blood, and he started crying, and he was like, is this real life? Did I really die? And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
He was, like, you know, like, 7 years old, and I was like, oh, my God, that's terrifying.
So you're gonna get an email from this kid in about, what, probably 12 years?
I actually wrote a movie. I wrote a movie, a tour that stars Tom Sizemore, and it got changed into, like, you know, a woman that comes back and kills the director or whatever. The movie that I originally wrote, a tour that I sold, was basically based on a director who made this movie, and a little kid was in the movie and got covered in blood, and then years and years later, like, that messed the kid up, and he came and hunted down the filmmaker to kill him.
So does every film that you write based in some sort of reality from your life? Because there's another one right there.
Yeah, Write What You Know. I mean, 13, 13, 13 has a piece of me in it. I was born on leap year. So the whole movie about being, like, you know, leap year and yada yada, that's about why I'm crazy, I guess.
So you take a little nugget and then you just throw it at the screen, and then a lot of gore added to it too.
Yeah, a little bit. I take little pieces out of myself and put
them
in.
They fuck up your value meal and you drive home and you're like, you know, this would make a good movie.
Yeah, exactly.
What is that, Mike? Like a falling down scenario?
Yeah, guy has a really, really bad day, and then they fuck up his value meal, just sets him over the edge, goes crazy.
And he just kills all the fast food workers in his town?
Yeah, you don't know how many times I think, like, at a random point, you know, this would make a good movie. You know, half of the time, the way I stop myself from actually turning it into a movie is I just tweet it. And then I'm like, well, somebody else can do it. So I just tweet, like, some random idea that I have.
Like put somebody's face in the fry grease. And I'm thinking this out now. This is good.
Yeah, you should write it.
There's so many things you could do in a fast food restaurant, right?
Yeah, it should actually. You should do one in a fast food restaurant and have it be like, you know, maybe the guy gets his, like, value menu messed up, like you said, or maybe it's a guy who, like, is, like, vegan and is totally, like, against the treatment of, like, the animals.
There you go.
And that's a good one,
like,
too.
Is, like, you know, punishing all the people that work there.
That's a good one, too. I was thinking patrons. maybe it is also too you can't get breakfast past 10:30 or
yeah. What's up with that, dude? Yeah. I want that. I want the breakfast past 10:30.
There's this sandwich that Jack in the Box has now that they keep advertising on TV. It's like a chicken sandwich and it has like three kinds of cheese and bacon, and then they got a hash brown on the and it's on a croissant. And it looks so damn good, but they don't sell it till after 9 o'clock. You can't get it until after 9 o'clock p.m. Now, who the hell eats dinner after 9 o'clock p.m., man?
It's ridiculous. It's for the drunchies. It's drunk munchies. Like when you exactly. leave the when you leave the bar, it's like, oh, yeah, that croissant thingy.
Or can we drive through the drive-in drunk?
Yeah. It's inspiring people to drive drunk. You see what you're doing, Jack in the Box?
Yeah. They're murdering people.
Hey, guys, we're mixing up the curly fries and the regular fries. We're crazy over here.
You might just get an onion ring in there.
Oh, my God. Don't you love when you sometimes get an onion ring in there?
I absolutely do love that random it's onion
like
ring.
It's like Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want onion rings. That's why I didn't order them. But when I get that onion ring at the bottom of the container, it's wonderful.
Yeah. I just honestly, like, I'm not a big fast food person, but I get really excited when they say the McRib is back.
Do you ever buy it, though?
No, I just get excited.
Well, I mean, there's a sense of immediacy. It's going away again.
I know.
You have to get one before it goes away. I mean, it's a limited time thing.
Did you know there's
pumpkin spice Oreos?
Oh, those are good. Those are good. Or Peeps. You can't get Peeps year round.
Right. I feel like we're devolving here.
Or eggnog. Eggnog.
Or Shamrock Shakes.
Oh, my God. So one thing I was going to say, though, and then we'll stop talking about food. I think we're all hungry. I think that's what's going on. We'll stop talking about food, but there's this website called hackthemenu.com, and it's like every drive-thru place's secret menu.
Is that legitimate? Have you tried it?
Yeah, it actually exists, and it's super awesome. Like, I've gotten, like, stuff from, like, Taco Bell and stuff and Subway, and it's super rad. There's, like, stuff that – because, you know, In-N-Out has a secret menu, but, like, this is, like, all the other places. Like, I bet you didn't know that Taco Bell has guacamole.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that either, and I love guacamole.
They have really good guacamole.
Why are they hiding their guacamole from me, James?
I don't know, but they actually have a burrito that's called the Incredible Hulk, and it comes with guacamole in it.
Let's go get those right now.
I'm going to write that down.
End podcast. We're going to go get food. No, hackthemenu.com. You should check it out.
It's hackthemenu.com. Awesome. It's written down. It's always a great day when we can learn something, you know?
That's right.
I try to teach people things. One moment at a time. They might give them heart attacks, but I will teach it to them.
The information is theirs to use or not use at all.
But your mind will be blown about the secret menu at Jamba Juice. There's like 400 options.
That's too many options. I'd have a brain aneurysm.
It's ridiculous. Well, you'll have a brain aneurysm if you have too much Jamba Juice.
I feel like I don't have the confidence to like walk up and convincingly order something that isn't on the menu. You know, I fear rejection. I fear Jamba Juice guy will say, no, man, that's not on. Look at the menu. It's not there.
You actually won't. I was afraid at first, but like when you order it, they kind of look at you and they're like, yeah, you know. You must have worked at a Jamba Juice.
Oh, man, you get high fives and stuff too?
Yeah, it's super cool. They're like, when you order at Taco Bell, they're like, have you worked at Taco Bell before? That's
gonna
be
right. They pull out the secret yeah. member button.
Yeah, they're like you're part of the club.
So where can people get your stuff? Where can
Taco Bell?
Just ask the James Cullen.
You get the 12, awesome. 12 taco sack and a free DVD.
I am on the secret menu at Taco Bell. No, I always say the easiest place to get my stuff is Amazon.com. But I have like two movies on Netflix too, if you want to watch them for free. But Amazon's the easiest place to get the DVDs and Blu-rays, because it's just kind of like everything's there.
And what's next?
What's next? I have a couple movies that I'm waiting on dates for, and I'll find those out soon. And then I kind of will go into production one after another, and then have a couple months where I sit and do nothing after that. It's kind of like how it works. I like do a whole bunch of movies all at once. Because there's like seasons of movies, where so it's like
Well, we got to get this movie done before this time. So it's like three different companies do a movie with me. And then, like, you know, I'll have like half a year I'm making movies and half a year I'm relaxing.
And going to film festivals and stuff
and
like
going
that.
To film, yeah, exactly.
Relaxing so, or writing 100 different short films or... So you're on Facebook. Just look for your name. Obviously.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook under James Cullen Bresak. I'm not allowed to add any more friends, though. I'm at my max. So
I saw you maxed out.
Well, people can just be your friend. You don't need to be their friend.
Exactly. Or you can follow me on Twitter at James Cullen B. And I'm very active on Twitter.
You are very active on Twitter, and it seems like you interact a lot and your fans interact a lot. That was another question I had is, I mean, obviously social media is used for promotion, but, I mean, do you feel like that's a rewarding connection, you know, like talking to fans on Twitter?
Oh, 100%. I mean, like, I love my fans on Twitter. You know, like, Twitter makes me feel less lonely at times, you know, because, like, I'll just, you know, when my friends don't text me back, I'll send out a tweet and I get a whole bunch of responses. You know, and it's fun. It's fun talking on Twitter, especially because, like, I'm a big horror movie fan, and a lot of my followers, of course, like horror movies. And so it's like I really can talk horror movies with my fans on Twitter, which a lot of my friends, you know, aren't really that into horror movies. So it's, you know, like going on Twitter and talking horror with these fans is great. I remember, like, you know, I asked like a day ago, you know, what's your favorite 80s horror film? And I got like over 200 responses. It was awesome. And like I was like, you know, going back and forth talking about like the best horror films with these people, and like, you know, they really know their shit. So it's really great. It's really rewarding, and it's a lot of fun really just connecting with them, because I feel like, you know, we're not only like have I made some actual friends through Twitter, of people that I, you know, actually hang out with and go out for drinks now. I feel, you know, some people like actually get really excited and happy about the interactions on Twitter.
So James Cullen B on Twitter, follow him and tell him you heard him here, and yay.
And reap the benefits.
And reap the benefits. I do giveaways on Twitter, so you actually might get some benefits.
Right.
And or you might learn how to order things at Taco Bell.
If there's a monster fest or a monster movie night or something and Pernicious is playing, James might be there. Go sit next to him and hold his hand and share a popcorn.
And buy him a Hulk burrito afterwards.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the Hulk burrito.
All right, thanks a lot, awesome, James. Much appreciated.
Thank you, James.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Radio FUBAR. Radio f***ed up beyond all recognition.
Movies Cast. Every Thursday. 9:00 Where we bring you a mashup of creepy headlines, crippling personal stories, and guests from all walks of life.
Like us on Facebook.
And follow us on Twitter at The Lotus Cast.
So one day, I forget how it came up, but she's like, hey, you should model some of my underwear for me. And I was like, oh, well, sure, I'll do that. So I did. Modeled some underwear, and she took a picture of it, and she gave the picture to the lead singer, and he posted it as the main profile picture on our MySpace page for the band, and we had a lot of followers, and people were really upset that my ass was on the front page. Get a girl, you're like, she's like, put on some underwear, and you're like, yeah, you just put them on, right? No?
All this and more at
RadioFubar.com
or TheLotusCast.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike, joined by all of my co-hosts. Everyone's here. Yay! We were just discussing the thing going on in California with the clowns roaming the streets at night.
They all float down here.
Are they sexing it up? Or are they?
How do you pronounce this, Travis? Wesco?
I think it's Wasco.
W-A-S-C-O. Wasco, California.
It's like Bakersfield, essentially.
There's this couple, right? They were just taking these photographs. They had, like, she was doing a photograph project where this guy was dressing up like a clown, and they were kind of going around and taking places or pictures in places around their town of him at night dressed up as a clown. They were creepy. It was how
it sounds like fun.
It's spooky month, right?
Yeah.
So this became like an internet thing, and everybody was, you know, oh my God, there's this creepy clown roaming around in Wasco, California, and everybody's getting all excited about it. And they start, there's a whole bunch of copycats now. So, like, when you go out in the world at night, you're looking for them almost because there's so many copycats. See, you can't do anything anymore without 20 people. And so now,
I blame flash mobs and improv everywhere.
But now apparently people are dressing up as clowns and like chasing people with axes and stuff. And fuck that. Fuck that.
No, don't fuck that. That is exactly what should happen.
Let me ask you a question. Now, I saw a YouTube video a while back, and it's unrelated to this, but I saw a YouTube video a while back of a guy dressed up as a clown who set up like a rig to where there was like a mannequin laying on the ground. And when people got off the elevator on into this parking garage, he smashed the mannequin's head with a sledgehammer. So, I mean, like, yes. If you're just walking into this, unsuspecting of anything, and you see this, you think this clown just murdered somebody with a sledgehammer. And then he started chasing them.
Oh, that was excellent. I loved
and
that
And screaming.
Video.
And so, oh, you saw it?
Yeah, it was it was in the parking. Yeah,
so I have a question for you. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know how the legality works and all, but I would imagine. I mean, sure, it's a prank, but you don't know it's a prank.
No, you don't.
Let's say you come around the corner and some jack off dressed up like a clown smashes a mannequin's head and then chases you with a sledgehammer. Like, if I just pull out a gun and shoot this clown in the face.
No jury in the world would convict you.
No!
Of course they wouldn't.
Right?
And it's all on video, too, so, I mean, you got all
right.
The in the world.
I mean, yeah, I'd shoot his ass. Like, if I had a gun on me, I would shoot him immediately.
All of these videos that took place, they didn't happen where concealed carry was, right?
Well, I mean, let's say, for instance, you know, the guy, you know, stands up for himself and, like, knows karate.
Yeah.
And fucks this clown up and just beats him to death. I mean, like, you're defending yourself, whether it's a prank or not. You don't know that. You think you're defending yourself, right?
That clown has a real weapon. You're totally in the right.
Yeah.
I would beat that clown to death. And if he was like, no, bro, it was a prank, I'd be like, fuck you. Not a funny prank.
Pranking your fucking nose in.
You should just start screaming, I know, and punching him in the face.
So is this.
It's so funny.
But no, I mean, so now all these assholes are out, like, you know, out at night with cameras. Looking to, like, take selfies with the creepy clowns. And, you know, the creepy clowns are all, they think it's great. And they're going out because they want the attention, I guess. So there's this whole community of assholes.
So do the ICP kids, they can't, like, go out at night anymore?
They shouldn't go out at night or during the day ever.
Well, by the way, guys, 309-740-1430 to contact the show, or WFODix on Twitter. Yay. And by the way, I guess before we get too far into all this shit, Napier and Travis celebrated birthdays this week.
Yay.
It's birthday week, drunk.
Nice.
So happy birthday to both of you.
My tits are one year older.
Yay.
My hair is thinning more than it was 3 days ago.
What did you guys do on your birthdays?
I went to work, and then I went home and had a nap.
Did you eat cake?
No.
You didn't have a cake?
No, we went to the fondue place.
You went to the fondue place again?
No, I mean, that's what we did for the birthday.
Oh, I thought, I was going to say, weren't you just bitching about the fondue place?
Kinda.
Wasn't your birthday this past week?
Yeah, but we celebrated it the weekend before.
No. You celebrate your birthday on your birthday.
No, I went to work on my birthday.
I haven't been to work on my birthday.
You request off for your birthday. Right. It's your birthday, goddammit.
I take my birthday week off every year since I was 16 years old.
That's right. You take your birthday week off. and you celebrate.
Well, me and Lady Fern are going to go on a honeymoon, and I needed the vacation hours.
Oh. Wasn't your wedding, like, a month ago?
Yeah, but you can have like, a, you know, a celebration of it whenever.
You know what you should do?
Sup?
You should go on a honeymoon on the week of your birthday. So then you have double reason to celebrate.
Oh, we were going to go for BlizzCon. We're going to rent a hotel room with a whirlpool thingy in it. We're going to watch BlizzCon and get drunk and screw in a whirlpool.
Will you tell me what BlizzCon is?
It's a Blizzard convention.
It has something to do with World of Warcraft, doesn't it?
It's the creators of World of Warcraft.
You go stand in a big room of sweaty fat dudes.
But they have way more games than World of Warcraft is the thing.
Yeah, they got like four other games. But we're doing a telecast. We're watching it on the internet, and we're staying in a hotel room.
So you're not even going to it?
No, we're going to Clayton. Chesterfield. We're going to Chesterfield.
You're going to Chesterfield to watch BlizzCon?
Yeah, in a hotel room with the whirlpool thing.
So you're not even going to the actual thing?
No, we're technically not even leaving the city limits almost. We're still in St. Louis County.
Drunk, you speak Napier. Will you explain to me what he's talking about? Travis, what is he talking about?
I'm fucking confused. So you're celebrating a convention that you're not even going to.
So you're driving less than an hour away.
Yeah.
To stay in a hotel.
Yes, with a whirlpool thingy in it.
To watch videos on the internet in a hotel room.
Yes.
For your honeymoon.
So yes. This would be like when G4 used to show like a weekend full of Comic-Con footage, but you celebrate that by going to a hotel, spending money and watching it on your laptop.
We're celebrating.
They don't have Wi-Fi. Did you verify they have good Wi-Fi?
I've got tethering on my phone.
Oh, thank God. No, this is terrible, Nathan.
Well, I'm celebrating my honeymoon. I'm not celebrating Blizzard.
Like do they at least have like an amusement park or a zoo or something?
It's Chesterfield.
You're going to go sit in a hotel room and watch them talk about video games on your computer.
Yeah, but there's going to be a whirlpool thingy there.
Oh, I think the world championships are that weekend, too.
Yeah.
What world champ? What are you talking about? What world championships?
StarCraft?
Yeah, for StarCraft and PvP, World of Warcraft, and probably the Hearthstone.
Yes, the Hearthstone championship is that weekend.
Napier, I feel like you should do something. I mean, like...
Are you saying I should do something I enjoy for my honeymoon?
Go fund me for Napier's honeymoon or something.
Take a day trip to fucking India or something.
No,
to India.
I know that the both of yous are into this stuff.
Yes,
I understand that, and I know that this is probably like. And I'm not judging you. You do whatever you want.
Oh, absolutely.
You're totally judging me.
Totally judging you. You're right. But I feel like shouldn't they like force themselves to do something semi-romantic?
That is romantic.
I mean, like, even if it's not like something that they're really excited to do, shouldn't you just buck up and
we're gonna screw in a whirlpool bath.
Don't fake it. Just do it.
We're doing something we enjoy, watching Blizzard and screwing in whirlpool baths. What's your weekend going to consist of? I bet it's not fucking in a hotel room watching video games.
Can't you at least go to Chicago or go to like Illinois or something?
No, Chicago's a fucking war zone. Fuck you.
You just need to go more than an hour away, I feel like. Go to Kansas City, Napier.
Why would I want to go to Kansas City?
Go a couple hours away. So
I should drive further away?
Napier, I feel like for your honeymoon, you need to go at least far enough that you're in a different area code. So that like it's more difficult.
Technically, that is a different area
code. Yeah, that's 636. See?
We're 314.
Yeah, we're 314 over here, bro. 314
Travis,
for life.
Travis.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a happily married man for many years, right?
Certainly.
I mean, you would be probably classified as like our romance expert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Napier honeymoon for us real quick. I mean, he's on a budget. Keep that in mind. And he wants to watch Blizzard.
Where is the con?
Anaheim.
So you get on Priceline and get some last-minute plane tickets and then stay at a Best Western and, like, go there panhandling to, like, get into the convention. I mean, if that's what you're really into, if that's romance to you, if, like, the sight of Warcraft characters in person, like, gets you off, I would, like, go to that.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I like things and I like events, but I don't like people. And I don't like traveling.
I can confirm that Napier does not really like traveling. I've traveled with Napier, and it was not
pleasant.
Have
you been on a plane?
Yes.
Napier pretty much bitched the entire time.
And did I bitch while we were actually there with all the people?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Napier is somewhat of a bitcher. When he's out of his comfort zone, which is really his house or my house...
So really, this is something we'd have to sit down and really brainstorm if we wanted to plan it out. I mean, I need all of the details.
Okay, so
the convention's in like,
I mean, like,
two
are
weeks,
you at least gonna like fiddle with each other's business while you? Watch?
Yeah, we're gonna fuck in a whirlpool bath. I don't know how he does it.
I mean, are you gonna?
It's this weekend, ain't it?
No,
it's two weekends.
Are you
two
gonna?
Weekends.
So you're gonna put the laptop up like on the bathroom sink?
No, we're gonna connect that to the TV, the big one that they got in the hotel room.
Oh.
It's going to be HD.
In Clayton.
In Chesterfield.
I'm trying to figure out the logistics of 69ing while watching the Blizzard footage.
You both bring your laptops, so you both can watch.
Now we got those Oculus Rift 3D glasses. We're going to be sucking and blowing while looking at orcs.
You shove each other's smartphones in your asses, so while you're going to town, you can watch the footage.
We just set up a shit ton of alarms that go off every 3 minutes and start, like, smacking each other's business around.
You set an alarm every 3 minutes so you can switch
yeah.
so the other one can watch?
Yeah. Ding! Okay, you're on top now. I'm on bottom.
This is the saddest. I know that it make. I'm sure that you guys will be perfectly satisfied with this. But I just feel like you should do more.
Okay,
you should do more if for any other reason than to satisfy me.
I don't want to satisfy you.
Napier.
You don't have a vagina.
Napier, I want this epic love story to have like a...
It should be celebrated.
Right? I mean, don't you feel
like... Well, now I'm going to take back the vagina part. You have a vagina.
I have a vagina?
Yeah.
Why do I have a vagina? Just because I want my friend to have a storybook romance.
Dude, we're going to fill that tub with grease.
That's disgusting.
There's going to be froth floating on top, and it's going to be nothing but my knuckle babies.
So
it's going to look like cream of wheat soup. And I'm going to turn that little fucker on high so that you can smell it. I'm going to make knuckle baby soup.
It's just going to be marinating throughout the whole floor of the hotel.
It's going to be nothing but my knuckle babies and farts.
With a whirlpool.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be
They probably don't clean those things.
So let me ask you this.
They're going to want to now.
If this is a fancy hotel with a whirlpool tub, what kind of hotel is this?
Lady friend? That's a Marriott.
A Marriott?
Ooh, yeah.
Baby. Holy shit.
Nice.
Wow.
Staying at the Marriott.
Well, is this going to be in October?
That's big. It's 2 weeks from now.
Two weeks.
So you can take some flat drunks with you. Hashtag flat drunk.
Yes.
Some flat drunks into the whirlpool bath.
Yeah, I can't, though, because it's going to be nothing but titties. Her titties, my titties.
Yeah. Maybe while it's filling up.
Well, I mean, you can put it on the wall and have me like creepily watching and whatnot.
I can stick him under my
thumbs up.
I can stick him under my titties like he's being smothered, but he's giving the thumbs up.
Yeah, titty fuck yourself with a flat drunk.
Yeah,
contest is going. We should mention the contest. The contest
yeah,
is going.
The entries have been coming in like fucking wildfire. I mean, it's just burning up the internet with all the entries.
He's
we've
being
gotten so
sarcastic.
Far.
We have not got a single entry yet. Nobody
Excellent.
Wants the spooky Travis box.
Travis's
oh, spooky
I'll keep
box.
All that shit.
Travis's yes. spooky box is up for grabs, guys. Flat drunk. Hashtag flat drunk.
If there's anything I
all
want to do.
All you gotta do to enter is print out a drunk, which you can find on many outlets, including RadioFubar.com. our Facebook, Radio FUBAR's Facebook, our Twitter. Flat Drunks are everywhere, available for you to download, print out on your home computer, or just send me your address in a private message, and I will mail you some Flat Drunks.
Fucking mail them to you!
The first set of Flat Drunks is going out in the mail tomorrow. I had a lot printed, and some of them, their heads were cut off because I did not format them correctly. And so I'm rectifying that and getting more Flat Drunks tomorrow. I have so many Flat Drunks. If you're thinking, oh, I feel bad asking Mike to mail me Flat Drunks, don't. I printed so many Flat Drunks. Napier, how many Flat Drunks are in this envelope? Way too many Flat Drunks.
30 Flat Drunks.
Oh, no, there's way more than 30. There's like 60 or 70 Flat Drunks. And they need to be used. We need to put these Flat Drunks all over the world. We need to litter the earth with Flat Drunks. Hashtag Flat Drunk.
And what do we have? We have 2 weeks left?
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah, you get you some Flat Drunks, and you put them in silly places, and you take a picture of them. And
you get on it, you goddamn
You send
flackers.
Them to us on Twitter or on Facebook.
Hashtag Flat Drunk.
Hashtag Flat Drunk with a... Or if you don't have the social medias, wfodshow@gmail.com. Get the goddamn Flat Drunks out there. You're running out of time.
They could be anywhere. Even if you're lazy as shit, you could have taken a picture of Flat Drunk on your fucking windshield when you were driving to work the other day. You know what I mean?
Right.
Come on.
Stick them on a bunch of people's cars in the mall. Just do that.
Drunk needs to experience the world.
Put them in a wishing well.
The only way we're going to do that is through the Flat Drunk program. Because, I mean, like Napier, who goes to Clayton on his honeymoon.
Chesterfield.
Where does Drunk go? Drunk, where do you go?
We couldn't even entice him with offers of pussy and booze.
That's right, Drunk. We won you a contest.
We won you pussy.
No, you won me a chance to get pussy.
That's the best chance you've got!
Me too. Best chance I got. If you guys win me a chance, that'd be great.
It was a best of three competition.
So you didn't believe in yourself?
No.
Is that what it is?
No, I had to fucking work.
Napier.
It was the busiest weekend of
the
work.
He didn't believe in himself.
You know what he should
Drunk
do?
Drunk has low self-esteem.
He should follow The Rock.
He thought
on
there's
Facebook
no way. There's no way that I could possibly be better than these other two guys. I mean, I'm just a lowly drunk.
Well, in his defense, we did send him on a trip to Arizona to fuck a septic tank. I would say no, too. Drunk, would you like to stick your dick in a chemical toilet for free? Hold on, wait, we'll give you this trash bag to pack it in. You feel safe?
So I went to a rock concert last night. It was a good time, right?
Yeah.
The War on Drugs. Good band. Like them. If you have a chance to see The War on Drugs, you should, because they're probably going to be playing a place that's way too small for a band that good. And there was like 300 people there. It was a tiny ass little place.
Yeah.
Weird place, though.
Where's it at?
Came into the damn, it was called the Ready Room.
Okay.
Guy came into the place with a bulldog, brought a dog to the rock concert. You don't bring dogs to rock concerts.
No, you bring pit bulls to fucking rap concerts.
Right, right. So I thought, oh, this is strange. So the opening band, right, we watched them. They were okay. It was one of the guys from The Walkmen. He has like a solo album. And I know what you're all asking. Who are The Walkmen? But after their show, his guitar player came over and stood next to us and was watching the next show. And people kept walking over to him and saying, hey, good show, man. Hey, good show. And I guess he was getting irritated that people were talking to him, because he went away and he came back with this like comically big hat, I guess to like hide himself so that people didn't know who he was. But then everyone was looking at him because, I mean, this hat...
Like Pharrell?
No, it didn't go up. It went out.
Yeah, like a sombrero?
Yeah, it was like a black hat. You know those red hat old ladies?
Yes.
With the big giant red hats.
Yes, circle, and then like,
and then, like
the rings
really,
of Saturn
really
around
wide,
your eyes.
Wide yes. brim. It was like that, only it was all black. And so then everyone was looking at him because he was the guy with the obnoxiously big hat. So then, and then, like, once they noticed his really big hat, they kind of looked at who's this asshole with the big hat. And then they're like, oh, that's the guy that was just playing. And then even more people talked to him.
Kind of like the dude on Mortal Kombat who threw the hat, like those kind of hats.
Yeah, yeah, it was similar to that, only it did not have a razor edge on
yeah,
it.
Sure.
But it was a good concert.
That was Raiden, by the way.
No, Kung Lao.
Oh, yeah, Kung Lao.
Right.
Raiden also had a hat.
But his was more oriental.
You know who else had a hat? That striker guy that he was the cop. And I think in some of
no,
them...
No, he had a backwards
I
hat.
I think in some of them, Sonya wore a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fatality.
Can you guys think of any other Mortal Kombat characters that wore hats?
Scorpion had like this little burka thing going
on.
No,
he didn't have a hat. He wore like a hood and a mask.
Right, a ninja suit.
Right, yeah. He had a ninja suit.
He had a burka.
Yeah,
on.
Not a hat.
You know who else had a ninja suit?
Sub-Zero, yeah, he wore a ninja suit.
I believe
right,
Reptile
right.
had one too.
Right, Reptile had a ninja suit.
Yep. Nob Sabak had one.
Yeah, yeah, and Smoke. I think he was, but he was kind of dark. You couldn't really see
yes,
him too good.
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah. And Liu Kang, he wore a headband. And, not a hat.
And didn't he, like, jump in the air and kick you, like, five times?
Travis.
Yes.
I know you can think of more people who wear hats.
Not in Mortal Kombat. I think you nailed it.
Did we get them all?
Yeah, I think it's, like, Raiden, Kung Lao. Yeah, I think everybody else either was wearing bandanas or, like you said, ninja suits.
I don't think Johnny Cage did not wear a hat, but he did wear sunglasses.
Yep, sunglasses. But he didn't put them on until he ripped your spine out of your body.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He didn't put the sunglasses on until afterwards. That was like his pose.
Cage had arm hats on.
Johnny Cage.
Arm hats?
Yeah.
What is an arm hat?
He had those little metal arms. They were arm hats. He had sweatbands.
We can move on to Street Fighter now if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nobody actually wore
M.
hats.
M. Bison wore a hat.
Yes. M. Bison had a hat. Absolutely.
That's right. He had a hat. Is he the only one?
He didn't throw it at you.
I think so.
Is he the only one that wore a hat in that
Guile's
entire...
Guile's flat top looked like a hat.
Godforsaken game?
Vega had a face hat.
Vega, yep.
What would you classify as a hat, though? I mean, there isn't such thing as a face hat.
Does it go on your face?
Yeah.
Does it cover your face?
Yeah.
Like a hat covers the top of your head?
No, but I mean, that's a mask. It's not a hat.
Well, it's a face hat.
Okay, so is my hoodie a fucking chest hat?
I mean,
Shirt hat.
Would you say a pair of gloves are hand hats?
Hand hats, yes.
I would not say that, no.
What if the fingers are cut out? What if they're fingerless gloves? Is that a hand hat?
No, those are...
That would be a palm hat, apparently.
Yeah.
So is that a hand visor?
Ooh. Ooh. No, hand shirts. A hand t-shirt, because
so
it's got
a visor
no
is a head t-shirt.
Okay, you got a prosthetic leg, right?
Yeah.
You put the prosthetic leg on your stump.
Yeah.
Is that a stump hat?
Stump hat.
Did you see the fella... In Philadelphia, whose prosthetic leg was stolen?
I think that's fake. Why would somebody steal your leg?
Guy's in a wheelchair, right? He plays saxophone outside of Eagles games, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, this is just another in a long, long tradition of stories about how Philadelphia people are the worst. Philadelphia fans, especially. Just people from Philadelphia are generally pretty shitty. No offense to Anchor and our friend Benny. They're some of the good ones.
Sure.
But generally, Philadelphia people are pretty shitty.
They make...
This broad stole a guy's leg. His leg was blown off. And
hey, if you can't take
the Vietnam War. And you know what? She didn't even keep it. If you're going to steal a guy's leg, you should at least keep it and like make a potted plant out of it or something. This broad just took it on the subway and then left it on the subway, and they found it on the subway, and they're like, why is this leg on the subway?
Look, if you can't take constructive criticism of your art, then you shouldn't play.
You think that that was a statement about the quality of his saxophone playing?
How could it not be? Obviously, if he was a good saxophone player, he wouldn't be getting his leg stolen.
Broad came out, sat on his lap, and when she stood up, took his leg. It's fucked up.
Oh, that's
stealing somebody's leg.
That's payment. What if she was one of them ladies that does dances?
Philadelphia people booed Santa Claus. Who the fuck boos Santa Claus, Napier? Nobody.
Didn't they also throw batteries at people?
They throw batteries at people. They're generally pretty awful.
I did see that one guy laughing when that dude, like, broke his leg in that football game. He's kind of, like, laughing at him.
Well, I mean, they booed Michael Irvin when he was taken off on a stretcher. That's terrible.
They're the worst.
Oh, no, they didn't boo. They cheered. That's what they did. They cheered.
You don't steal a guy with a missing leg's prosthetic leg.
I heard
it just seems like poor form to me.
I heard Bobrovsky was so afraid of like the Philadelphia press people, he faked that he didn't know English for a year.
Oh no, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're saying.
Every time he would get asked a question by the media, he would just say Bob. He did that for a whole fucking year.
What's going on, drunk?
Just sitting here doing a podcast.
Yeah.
My one-day routine, you know.
Hey, Travis, what's in your box if people win it so that they can
get excited about the spooky box?
Getting ready to finger the box.
It's a loot crate thing. I can tell you there'll be something to watch, something to read, something to listen to, and some other assorted bullshit.
Is there at least one Nightmare on Elm Street video in the box?
No.
Can there be something to wear?
Like a hat.
Yeah, or
I mean, not necessarily a hat to put on your head, but like, you know, maybe like a hat to put on your feet or something.
Or like a wrist hat or something.
Yeah, like a wrist hat.
A wrist hat. Yeah, there's a wrist hat.
There's a wrist hat in there?
Yeah, there's going to be a wrist hat.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is.
What about a waistband hat?
No waistband hats.
Oh.
No dick hats. None of that.
What about foot hats?
No feet hat. I don't have any extra feet hats.
You guys want to do a spooky story?
Yeah.
I got a spooky story. 15-year-old Czech broad, right?
Yeah.
She lured her 10-year-old friend out into the woods and chopped off her fingers with an axe as a sacrifice to Satan.
Hmm.
Well.
Was she cute?
Satan's craving them?
Well, even if she was cute, she ain't got any fingers now.
Satan's craving them fingers.
Yeah.
No, I was talking about the one that was doing the chopping.
Oh, no, she's fucking crazy.
Yeah, they didn't have any pictures of the Czech broad. But I mean, I would imagine if you lure another Czech broad out into the forest, you probably aren't like a, you know, fat, ugly broad. Right. You probably have something going for you to where you can be a little bit persuasive. But I think it's kind of cool that, you know, we're not killing people for Satan anymore. We're just chopping off fingers. Well,
at least it was the fingers and not the whole hand.
Yeah. But what do you do with the rest of the hand without the fingers?
You make Mario mittens.
I'm sure they're easier to use than nubs.
Yeah. She can still slap fight people.
Would that be a punch?
Can you make a punch without fingers?
Just hit them like this.
Yeah, that's
except no finger.
Yeah, that's kind of like a chop.
It'd be like a punch, though, right? Because he ain't got no fingers. It's not like you're slapping him with like an open hand because you ain't got an open hand anymore. You just got.
Well, no, you always have an open hand forever.
So you're slapping everybody all the time.
Yeah,
I disagree. See, now we need to talk about what classifies as a slap as opposed to a punch.
Well, it's fortunate that it wasn't a dude, because then he couldn't measure the length of the belt that he could use to hit his wife with. Because you need a thumb for that.
You can't grip the belt.
No, you can't.
You can't hold on to the belt unless you, like, tape the belt to your hand.
Oh, no, I'm sure you could develop some sort of palm.
Travis.
Marriage. You know what you do with the belt is you tie it around your wrist, and that's your, like, your hand whip.
Hand whip. Yeah.
Yeah, you tell your wife before you beat her with it that she needs to put it around
would double.
Her wrist.
It would double as a hand whip and also a wrist hat.
Yes.
Yeah, also a wrist hat.
Do you think she's going to, like, one day become a Marvel superhero?
Explain.
Well, they got the blind guy. They got a bunch of ones that been hit with some kind of horrible accident. What about the witch sacrificed this one lady's fingers to Satan, and she's like Death Grip Girl or something. She goes around strangling broads. They're imaginary fingers. No ghost powers.
Like Darth Vader's throat thing.
Yeah. But, you know, fingers.
I think we're off the tracks right now.
I think that's an understatement.
I think we're off the tracks.
Napier's already on vacation.
I've been on vacation.
Napier's checked out.
Well, it's going to be...
He's already at BlizzCon.
I gotta read about my orcs, about the goings on, about the war with the Alliance.
So at these BlizzCons, are they gonna announce new games? Is that what it is?
No, they actually already announced that they've canceled one of their new games.
So what are they gonna do?
Go on about the new expansion for their current game.
So they're like, hey, you got this game already?
And
you were just bitching about that. Wasn't he just bitching about that last week?
I wasn't here last week. I don't know.
The game that was doing all kinds of expansions and you got to keep paying for more stuff.
Yeah, that was.
And you're celebrating this.
I think that was 2 weeks ago.
You're celebrating it.
Yeah, but this is like an actual expansion. This isn't like 4 hours of content. This is like months and months worth of content for like $30. It's not going to be like, oh, you can get a new graphics package with this machine gun that you bought.
I think what we were talking about was maps for Call of Duty.
And Destiny.
Yeah, see, those are weak. But the expansions he's talking about aren't so bad.
Yeah, it's like a whole new
world.
Were
you a World of Warcraft guy?
No, I don't play World of Warcraft.
A lot of your friends do, don't they?
Yes.
Did they try to talk you into it?
I play Hearthstone, which is a Blizzard game.
And it's free.
But I don't play StarCraft. That's just too complicated.
Yeah, that's for those Koreans
like,
that
you
do
like
math.
Your simple stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
StarCraft is for math people.
Travis, do you ever get into that stuff?
No, I could never get into the multiplayer stuff that you had to like put a bunch of time into. The closest I ever got was a handful of years ago when I got addicted to Mafia Wars on Facebook. Which... is the same.
It's practically
kind of
the same thing, right? I was into that too. I was into the Mafia Wars on. I spent so much time at work, like leveling up all of my Mafia stuff. And one day I was just like, "Why am I doing this?"
Mm-hmm.
I got really into some game on my iPad that you had to like build your kingdom or something. And it was fucking stupid, too. And I like, bought in-game things, like, you know, hey, you can buy this bigger castle for $1. And I was like, fuck yeah, bigger castle for $1. And then, like, one day, I'm looking at my giant kingdom, and I'm thinking about all the dollars here and dollars there I spent on this free game. And I'm thinking, why did I do all of this? And I'm sure by now all of my crops are dead.
What about Candy Crush?
I gave up on Candy Crush, too.
Well, at least you haven't given up on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter's a game.
I have kind of given up on Twitter. I'm just not... I need something to inspire me. I need something to, like, come up and just, like, say, Mike, I am worthy of your time.
You should create your own Twitter.
New Mike Twitter?
Yeah.
I got... NHL 14, if you want to play it.
I got that, too.
Yeah, we didn't play it very often, did we?
Yeah, not really.
Well, there was that one button that was the immediate penalties button.
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome.
The poke check button, which is really the trip button.
I was about to say, is that the hook?
Yeah.
The hook was always fun for me.
Hey, you want to trip somebody and get a 2-minute penalty?
Right.
Push square.
But
oh,
no,
that's what that button does.
I have so many things that I want to do. I have so many ideas. I feel like I keep coming up with ideas, but then like it stops there.
Do you masturbate immediately after?
What I need.
Let me ask you a question. Do you stop coming up with these ideas because you mention them on the podcast and then Anchor puts up a website?
Yeah, typically Anchor shits on all of my ideas, and that definitely deflates me a little bit. But I need to like somehow get connected with like a partner who's like a doer, who doesn't necessarily have great ideas, but like does things.
Are you not a doer?
No, I'm a come up with ideas and then forget about them guy.
That sounds like the easiest of guy jobs.
I know, but like there's plenty of people out there that just shit out content like crazy, but actually don't really have any great ideas.
I feel like you are a doer, Mike. You just need to put your mind to it.
I mean, like somebody that could just like sit down and write a book in a day.
Have you tried Ritalin?
Do you think that's what I need?
Maybe.
You can try it. I mean, what's the worst that happens? You get some Ritalin.
I'll give you that laser-like focus.
And if you don't like it, they just give you some Riddle out.
What the fuck?
That's a good one, Nate.
I want to take a trip.
You want to take a trip?
Yeah.
Like with yourself or like, you know, all of us?
Either
like
way.
The four of us, you want to go? Travis, where you want to go? Where should WFO DixCon be?
Let's go to Austin during one of their crazy film festivals or music festivals or something like that.
Austin, Texas?
Yep.
Yeah,
it's like hipster capital of the world, but they have a lot of cool shit and barbecue.
Yeah, there's no reason Austin should be in Texas. If you've ever been there, it doesn't fit Texas. It's kind of weird.
Should probably be in like what? Like right around Portland? Just stick it by Portland?
If you could take the loop with all the fucking hipsters and goths and...
It's a totally local reference that our global audience will not have a clue what you're talking
about. We don't have a fucking global audience.
Whatever. Global audience!
Malaysia is still going strong.
In the chat right now, what do we got? We got... Oh, the chat's pretty much empty, isn't it?
Yeah.
We got Philly and Arizona and Pittsburgh and Wisconsin and Missouri. Global audience!
So... The Loop is kind of like Austin, only Austin's an entire city.
Right. So it's where the hipsters go to
Yeah.
You know, at that concert I was at yesterday, I think the War on Drugs might be a bit of like a hipster band.
Did you see a lot of people with obnoxiously big throat beards?
Yeah, everybody there had a beard and everybody there had thick glasses.
Did you see anybody with like really, really, really oversized vape things?
Yeah, I saw a lot of those.
Well, and there's a lot of hipsters there.
And you gotta wonder if like you go to an event that's full of hipsters, and like you're looking around at all the hipsters and saying, "Oh my God, I'm in a room full of hipsters." Don't you kind of have to like have a little moment of reflection and think, "Dude, am I a hipster?"
Well,
I mean, like
you got the glasses.
Like if I'm there with all of them and like. You know, I went to a place where all hipsters are. I didn't see anybody like what I envision myself to be. I don't see myself as a hipster. I see myself as like a normal dude, right? I like normal things that normal white dudes like.
You know, except for that one band.
Well, I mean, I probably like a lot of bands that hipsters like.
So kind of like if you were in prison... And you notice there's all those prisoners there.
Right, right. Like, you're the only innocent person in prison, right?
Yeah.
Like you go there and, like, everybody there is guilty and, you know, I can't believe I'm here with all these people. Don't you have to kind of think for a moment, oh, my God, I'm one of these people?
Yeah. No? You're just going to think to yourself, I didn't do anything wrong except for that one time at that gas station. I shit all over a gas station.
So today's no bra day.
It's also Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah.
And they don't wear bras.
And it's Christopher Columbus Day, obviously. And
National Cardboard Box Appreciation Day.
Is it really?
And if you're in Canada, it's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, Canada.
It's a lot of things. Every day, there's so many things that it's the day for. Everything has a day.
I feel like that what you just said, those two sentences, was like a perfect setup for like a ridiculous song that you were gonna sing.
Everything has a day.
Does penis concussive syndrome have a day?
But dunna dunna dun.
I hereby declare that Friday is National Travis Hulse Day.
I'll take it.
I'm yep. with you.
So everybody be prepared for Friday. All our podcast listeners, all three of them, will have the opportunity to hear the show by then so that they can help in celebrating National Travis Hulse Day.
And enter. I will be going out of town, the wife and I, without kids, and I would love to kick it off with National Travis Hulse Day.
So you're probably going to like go out and have like a romantic weekend and
yeah, absolutely.
And celebrate in style.
Yep, we'll go out to dinner. We're getting rid of the kids, and we're going to go and probably have some dinners, you know,
did
multiple
you just
dinners.
Say he's murdering his
maybe
kids?
Catch a movie.
Did you hear that, Napier?
Yeah, he said he's going to murder his kids.
That's what a healthy couple does. They go on a trip. They go have like a nice romantic dinner. They go see a movie. They have like a little date. You're talking about going and sitting in a dark hotel room and watching your laptop. People talk about video games.
And screwing in a whirlpool bath.
You just hung up. It's like, what are you going to do the other 23
and a half,
and
hours.
A half hours? I mean, like, that includes filling up the bathtub.
Right.
And undoing it at the end.
and then draining it so you can fill
it. I mean,
it
you have so
again.
Much more time in the day.
Sir, I don't mean to talk about nobody, especially not my lady friend, but her cooch is going to look like a rabid dog's mouth when I get done.
Jesus Christ.
They do got that big movie theater with the IMAX that's 4.5 hours installed in Chesterfield.
I bet it won't get me no pussy.
I've seen three movies in the IMAX theater, and they're way better than pussy.
Liar. Well, seeing
what? What movies did he see that were better than pussy? Can you
in IMAX?
List the three movies that you saw.
I could have saw Transformers 4 in IMAX,
I
and
did
it probably would have been
IMAX.
Better than pussy.
Okay.
Transformers 4 was an abomination.
Yeah,
it was just okay.
Okay, what did you see in IMAX?
I saw Godzilla.
No.
Did you walk in an hour late?
it was in fucking IMAX. It doesn't matter.
You watch fucking that Asian guy walk around and say, ooh, for an hour in IMAX. You see a big giant Asian guy saying, oh my God, I think there's a lizard. For an hour before there's an actual Godzilla.
Did his eyes get distorted so they look like normal? Oh.
I've never seen a movie in IMAX.
Really,
what was the second one? So I can shit on that too.
Dark Knight Rises.
Okay, that was
a good one.
The first one I ever saw in IMAX was Sucker Punch.
Oh no.
I drove 2 hours to see Sucker Punch in IMAX.
Oh my God, how disappointed were you?
I was not disappointed at all. I love that movie.
I don't even know what this movie
no,
is.
No, you didn't.
I do. I love it. I still love it. I own it on Blu-ray. Seen it a bunch of times.
Travis, you didn't like Sucker Punch.
I like Sucker Punch a lot.
What?
What is Sucker Punch?
It's a really, really bad movie.
Who's in it?
That movie is awful.
Don't let people make you think that it's bad. Just watch it on your own.
Watch the trailer for Sucker Punch.
Who's in the movie?
You can see all of the cool parts in Sucker Punch in the trailer. And then you don't have to watch the whole movie.
Okay.
You can just watch the 2-minute trailer and you'll be fine.
Wasn't it pretty much like lady broads dressed up as high school girls beating up Nazis?
Okay, if I decoded it correctly, I think it was like a insane asylum full of attractive broads. There was no ugly broads. They only sent attractive broads to this insane asylum.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they were like, okay, this is an insane asylum, but we're only taking attractive broads. No dudes, no lezzy butch chicks.
No cameras, papers to fill out.
Only hot broads are allowed at this insane asylum, right? And so, like, they go to this insane asylum, and I think what's going on is, like, the prison guards are, like raping them. And, like, while the prison guards are raping them, they, like, detach themselves and come up with, like cool samurais and stuff they can fight. So, like, in their mind, they're fighting samurais, when in fact they're just in, like a damp prison cell getting raped.
That sounds like
one of them... I think one of them escapes and everybody else dies.
Cool.
If I remember right. Spoiler alert.
They were already dead inside.
Did I decode that correctly, Travis?
I think that you probably did.
So one of Travis's favorite movies that he owns on Blu-ray. Oh, by the way, I own it on Blu-ray too. I bought it on Blu-ray before I had actually seen it because I'm an idiot.
I don't know if I'd say one of my favorite movies, but I really enjoyed it.
Sounds like a movie Napier would like, to be honest with you.
No. I didn't like it.
He didn't.
Well, see you in hell, faggots.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this installment of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. We are live every Monday night at 9, 8 Central on Radio FUBAR. You can download past episodes on Stitcher, iTunes, or our website, wfodicks.podbean.com. If there's any kinds of thumbs or stars that you can click for us, we do appreciate it. It does help with the visibility of the show. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can follow Drunk at DrunkardSTL. You can follow Travis at ProduceTravis. You can also follow some of our favorite Napier quotes at Napierisms. We're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at wfodshow@gmail.com or leave a voicemail message at 314-266-WFOD. Radio FUBAR is on 24 hours a day with great content. RadioFUBAR.com. Check out some of the other shows. Let them know that we sent you. There are shirts available in their shop. You can also click the Amazon link that will take you to Amazon.com where you can do your shopping as normal. It does help the station. They do get a kickback. It costs you no extra to do so. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next week and tell a friend.